Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It's a Monday, raining and wet in Los Angeles, not in the studio though, warm and comfortable live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1, 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, Gonzaga's going to win the tournament, Oklahoma State's my dark horse, Villanova first good team to lose, there you go, Selection Monday. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. I've not recovered from my move on Saturday, and I am not envious of you today. It's moving day, and traditionally, as it rains when I move, and I actually had beautiful weather.
Beautiful.
So
today,
I'm sorry about
raining.
That. I passed that to you. It rains 3 times a year in LA, and one of the days is usually when I move.
And it's pouring today,
yes.
And my dogs will bring in the mush, and it'll just be a. Be just an absolute disaster today. So let me start with this. One of my favorite, and I watch from time to time, I'll go YouTube and watch commencement speeches. And you watch, you know, Oprah here and famous actors and CEOs, legends, whatever. One of my favorite lines, and I'm not sure it was his, maybe he borrowed it, but I've used this over and over in my life. Bon Jovi, John Bon Jovi. Gave a commencement speech. Great advice. Outline your life in pencil, not pen. Always be willing to erase. You don't know what you're going to be optioned. John Bon Jovi, outline your life in pencil, not pen. Told my kids this regularly. Russell Wilson needs to heed this advice. According to reporters this morning, Chicago is making a big, big swing at Russell Wilson. We've told you that for a week. And Russell's very keenly interested in Chicago. He needs to grab his pencil and erase Chicago. And put Washington in there, and I'll explain. 6 good teams have their quarterback. New England's got Cam. Dallas has Dak. Indy's got Carson Wentz. The Saints have 2 guys, Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. Pittsburgh signed Big Ben. And the 49ers, say what you want, they've got Jimmy Garoppolo. Those are good teams. 2 other good teams do not, playoff teams, do not have a quarterback. Chicago and Washington. And Russell Wilson said, I like Chicago. Let's think about it. Washington has $38 million of cap space. Chicago's $19 million over the cap. But the brand, most of my childhood, Washington won a lot more football games than Chicago. Washington has a great defensive coach. A better defense than Chicago, look it up. Pro Football Focus said Washington had a 6th best offensive line, far superior to Chicago. Much easier division. Play the biggest brand in the world, the Dallas Cowboys, twice a year. With Russell, you'll win both and a ton of cap space. It's much easier for Russell Wilson to beat big brand Dallas twice a year than it is to beat Aaron Rodgers and big brand Green Bay twice a year. Russell Wilson's career, he's .500 against the Packers in 6 games. You want to know what he is against Dallas, Philadelphia, and the New York Giants? If he went to Washington, 15-3. If you're beating Dallas twice a year and Jerry twice a year and Dak twice a year and you're beating the blue blood New York Giants twice a year, that is a way bigger brand than losing to Green Bay. Outline your life in pencil, not pen. You want to know what Washington is? 1 year ago, they were Tampa before Brady took it. What was Tampa? They'd been 7-9, veteran head coach, super talented defense, promising O-line. Tampa was 7-9. Wait, Washington was 7-9. Veteran head coach, great defensive talent, promising O-line. The difference is Washington had more success winning recently than Tampa. They are Tampa. And Tom Brady looked around the league. He could go anywhere, right? Like, anywhere. And Tom said, all right, I got the coach. I got the championship defense. I got some offensive pieces I like. And the offensive line needs a right tackle, but it's good. That is Washington. The difference is Washington just made the playoffs. It is time for Russell Wilson to pivot off Chicago and go to Washington. He would own the division. You're not going to own the division if Aaron Rodgers is in it. You're not going to own it. You can win it, but you're not going to own it. Philadelphia's got Jalen Hurts. Who knows? Giants have Daniel Jones. Who knows? Cowboys paying Dak $40 million. Who knows? I mean, they'll win, but who knows? Washington made the playoffs. Taylor Heinicke was quarterbacking in the end. Pencil, not pen. Erase. Insert Washington over Chicago. So Drew Brees, and this is not exactly a revelation of like, you know, Watergate status, but Drew Brees retired. It is interesting. Drew Brees is a great example that if you don't look like the prototype, and if your path is different than the prototype, some people can just never get past that. Drew Brees, number one all-time in passing yards. Now think about that. History of professional football in America. He's number one in passing yards. He's number one in completions. He's the only player ever with multiple 5,000-yard seasons. For our television audience, I'm putting up his records. He basically owns all of them or finishes second. And if Drew Brees was 6'4.5", he'd be Peyton Manning with better stats. He has the most games ever of 3 touchdown passes. He has the most games ever of 4 touchdown passes. He has the most games ever of 5 touchdown passes. It's the Steph Curry syndrome. But he doesn't quite look like we think a star should look, and his path was different. Purdue, Steph Curry, Davidson. Wait a minute. The best player in the league can't be from Davidson. The best quarterback in the league can't be from Purdue. And then he gets hurt, and then he wants to go to Miami, and he ends up with the Saints. And this is a big deal for me. He ends up with the Saints. They were the worst franchise in the league. Just think of what he dealt with the Saints. They were called the Aints. Historically, one playoff win ever. People wore bags on their heads. He gets there. And they become, last 15 years, an elite top 3-4 franchise. That's worth something. If Drew Brees was 6'4.5", you turn on sports radio in America, and I listen to people for hours argue Drew Brees out of top 12. Take his stats, make him go to a football power like a Texas, Ohio State, or Michigan. Make him number one or two in everything. Would we argue it? It wouldn't be worth a segment. And people, well, he's not this guy. He's not that guy. Folks, Joe Namath looked like a quarterback should look in the 70s. He was tall and handsome with a big arm. Joe Namath's the prototype. But Joe Namath has more losses than wins in his career and more interceptions than touchdowns. Joe Namath's number one trait, and I know Joe and like him, was being cool. Drew Brees' number one trait, I don't know, was being accurate. If your route's a little different, if you don't look like everybody thinks you're supposed to, 6 feet, out of Purdue, not a huge arm, people just can't wrap their brains around it. He is the most accurate thrower of the football I've ever seen. Period. In all the years I'm watching football, in his 10 to 12 year prime, he threw the ball more accurately than anybody has ever thrown the football. Wasn't as cool as Joe Namath, didn't have Favre's arm, didn't have the pedigree of Peyton Manning, but good luck to the New Orleans Saints finding his replacement. And 1 year from now, you want to know what the Saints are going to look like? Like New England looks this morning. Crossing your fingers and praying you can get a name quarterback past his prime. Be it Cam Newton, be it Taysom Hill, be it whoever it is. It's remarkable to me that you would waste a radio segment arguing Drew Brees is not a top 10 quarterback of all time. Look at his numbers. Look at the injury. Look what he inherited. Look what he turned around. He dealt with Katrina. He owns the record book, first or second in almost everything that matters. Drew Brees, way to go.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Packers re-sign Aaron Jones, the running back, 4 years, $48 million. And the initial reaction is, oh, you can't pay a running back. Can't pay a running back. And whenever I hear sort of a, everybody is in one direction, my natural instinct is to turn into it. I'll give you a great example. During the pandemic, everybody's out of the cities. New York City, oh, get out of here. Chicago, oh, you got to get out of the big city. All those people that left downtown Chicago, it's one of the great cities in America. They're going to go to the suburbs and be bored out of their mind. And in 18 months, they're going to sell their boring suburb home and go back to the city and hang out on Michigan Avenue because that's where all the fun is in Chicago. And when you're 40 years old, you and your husband, your wife, and the kids, and you want to have fun, you don't want to get in the car, drive to dinner, 55 minutes, or you can go to Applebee's in the burbs. You're going to move back to Chicago downtown. And New York City downtown, there's too much action. You go ahead and live out in Rye. There's too much accent in the city. And everybody's like, oh, get out. No, cities are no good. Cities are great. That's why people lived in them. Pandemic was a nightmare for some people living in the cities. You felt trapped. I get it. But when I hear you can't pay a running back, timeout. Aaron Jones, top three at his position in the league. Number two, Aaron Rodgers is 37. Got two prime years left. And I'm not sure he's not out of his prime. 2 to 3 years left of the very best Aaron Rodgers. Get him help. Three, in all of Aaron Jones' biggest games, they win. His 13 biggest games this year, they went 13-0. The other games, they went 0-3. By the way, if he just rushes for 42 yards since he's been a Packer, they're 23-0. So in any business, when I hear you can't, my takeaway is, yeah, you can. Don't tell me running back doesn't matter. Now, there's some concerns. Well, it's a passing league. All right. Let's dig a little deeper. Of the six teams in the NFL that got the most rushing yards from the running backs, five of six went to the playoffs. One of those, Green Bay. Well, what about the wear and tear? Wear and tear is a big problem. Certainly is. When Zeke signed with Dallas, he had in just 3 years, 870 NFL carries. Aaron Jones in 4 years has more than 200 carries fewer than that because they don't rely on him because they have Aaron Rodgers. So wear and tear doesn't worry me. Got banged up at the end of the year. It's a running back. They occasionally do. Even Adrian Peterson's been hurt. Zeke's gotten banged up. Great guy. Great locker room. Gives Aaron Rodgers a star running back. The wear and tear. Look at the numbers. Running game still matter. By the way, down the stretch, Tampa started running the football more. Gave Brady a break. Then he had play action. The offense clicks. Less turbulence. I don't buy you can't. Now, I don't think you should pay most running backs $48 million. But even if you look at the number, he got paid. He didn't get overpaid. 4 years, $48 million for a top three player at their position. If you paid Quentin Nelson a guard that, would anybody lose any sleep? He's not touching the ball 25 times a game. No problem. Smart move. Way to go, Packers.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Peter King's column this morning. Check out the biggest contracts in free agency over the past 3 years, all for $70 million or more. What's become of each? Trey Flowers, 9 sacks in 2 years for Detroit. Nick Foles, enough said. C.J. Mosley, good player, can't stay healthy. Kirk Cousins, meh. Byron Jones had a horrible year for Miami, although he's really talented. Trumaine Johnson, disaster with the Jets. Robert Quinn, 2 sacks, 15 games. He was a bust last year. So outside of legendary quarterbacks, Peyton Manning to Denver and Brady to Tampa, who are already Hall of Famers, already have all their money, NFL players in their prime don't hit free agency. And if they do, be cynical.
Didn't Dave Wansat talk about that last week?
Be cynical.
He's like, the team that had them knows more than you're going to know when you're making these big free agent signings.
Kenny Galladay is the most talented guy in the market, wide receiver Detroit. But why are they letting him go? Now, he's coming off an injury, but why are they letting him go? Like, why is he available? It's like, I can dabble. It's like almost buying a home. I'm cynical every time I read any real estate brochure. Charming means it's a dump and needs work. That's all charming means. When you see a home, oh, it's charming. It's a dump. It needs work. It's a fixer-upper is a total dump. I mean, elegant means it's really expensive. Upscale, granite countertops, crown molding. I mean, you can read through all the lines, but I still buy homes. But I'm cynical. Every time I read something, I'm like, cynical, 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 cynical. Let me go see the house. And I'm always looking for value. It's the same with free agents. I'm cynical on all of them. But there are occasional, the Packers went and got Za'Darius Smith. Very good linebacker, can put pressure on the quarterback. Green Bay did a really good job of that. They got Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith. Za'Darius is better. Preston's good too. But what do? They waited and they waited and they waited and they bought a house that was probably worth slightly more than they paid for it. And it fit really nice. They fit really nice into that neighborhood. It's all nice. I like buying homes when I can, if I sell homes and I've done it enough in my life, but I'm cynical every time. Same with free agency. I always kind of like, why is Kenny Galladay available?
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
And here we go to Monday, Colin right, Colin wrong.
Where Colin was right?
We predicted Cam Newton. New England would run him back, and why not? There's a lot of quarterbacks in the market. None of them for $14 million for 1 year. Listen, they have an excellent O-line. Every quarterback's better in their second year with the team. Their running backs are more than solid enough, and we know their defense, guys opting back in, will be good. They feel like a 9-7, 10-6 team. And again, let's be fair about this. Cam got COVID in the middle of the season, so he missed games. Then he came back. He was awful. But in the last 9 games... he won 5 of them, lost 4, had a 90 passer rating, had 12 total touchdowns, and had a 66 completion percentage. So this idea, and for the record, working with New England's awful skill people. So it was so funny listening to Boston people complain about it the whole weekend. Go to his last 9 games. What else is on the market? 1 year, $14 million. You could get another quarterback for that. You could literally go get Sam Darnold for that. I don't know. I think it's an obvious move. We predicted it. It happened.
Where Colin was wrong.
But I didn't think Aaron Jones and the Green Bay Packers would agree to a contract. First of all, he was overlooked out of high school. He was overlooked in college. He was overlooked in the draft. I figured he would be like, I'm tired of being overlooked. Give me the money. But a smart move by Aaron Jones. This is why I like him. He took a little bit less money than the market, and he ends up on a great team, right? This team has been to the NFC Championship. He's also got Aaron Rodgers behind him. He's also got Green Bay's always done a really good job drafting and developing offensive lines. This is a smart player. This is a smart player that's like, listen, it's great for my brand, and he's got a couple big charities. I'm a Packer. I have a really good offensive line. I have a veteran quarterback that can audible me out of trouble, and if I swing out of the backfield, he can hit me. This is what smart players do. It's your money, not mine. But if I'm a running back, the first thing I want to know about is my O-line and my quarterback. And I should have seen that. And Aaron Jones, Packers, good for you. It's a great combo. They're good together.
Where Colin was right.
Tom Brady. A lot of guys say they're about winning. Tom Brady's about winning. He restructured his deal again. He'll be a $9 million cap hit next year, which is 20th among quarterbacks for easily the greatest quarterback of all time. He's always been willing to push money down the road. And it's interesting, as Tampa is able to, because of Tom's $9 million, re-sign everybody. Lavonte Davis, Shaq Barrett, you know, they can re-sign everybody. Other teams can't. It looks like the NFC, Saints are having to peel off people. We'll find out what Seattle does. They've already peeled off Carlos Dunlap, but it looks like Tampa's even better.
Where Colin was wrong.
Dak finally did sign a monstrous long-term deal with Dallas. I don't know why Jerry Jones would wait for 2 years and then give Dak everything. Good for Dak, but he got everything. He got the years. You can't franchise tag him. He's got a no-trade clause. Couldn't you have done that a year and a half ago? But I was to the point where franchise tag him, even for Dak's sake, take the $37 million and go back to the market. Every year, we need like 7-8 quarterbacks. He'd be the number one quarterback on the market. But they went long term. They waited to the last moment, and Dak won easily.
Where Colin was right.
Trey Lance is my number two quarterback in the draft. There's five first-round quarterbacks. Three are not going to work. Just, you know, it's not going to be a 5-for-5. Trey Lance is my number two after Trevor Lawrence. And after his workout Friday, scouts are now saying, wow, we see Josh Allen at Buffalo. He calls all the protections for his college team. That is not the way it works. He's thrown one career interception. And I know I'm just watching the guy in his shorts. And I know I have that grainy YouTube video. But I've never thought seeing talent is hard. And physically, big, strong, accurate. And now the scouts are saying the same thing. It was a wow workout by Trey Lance.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, about 5-6 weeks ago, I said the Miami Heat were a one-year bubble wonder. And since then, they've caught fire. They're now a four seed. And I always loved Eric Spoelstra. I think he's a top two or three coach in the NBA. But I kind of thought, you know, last year it was a little bit of a bubble thing. But now they're red hot, hottest team in the NBA since I called them that. A lot of it's Jimmy Butler. Listen, when they don't have Jimmy Butler, they're just not the same team defensively. When Jimmy Butler plays, since he returned in January from an injury, they're number one in defensive rating. They're 4-10 this year when Jimmy Butler doesn't play. So, you know, we talk about valuable. Jimmy Butler, outside of LeBron, maybe the most valuable player in the league on both ends of the floor. James Harden may be more talented, but James Harden isn't as valuable because he doesn't play on one end. When Butler plays, Miami wins. When he doesn't, they're not only don't have their best score, they're not the same team defensively.
Where Colin was right.
The Kansas City dynasty. Slow down. Last 6 weeks, blown out in the Super Bowl. Now they got to replace both their tackles. Good luck doing that in the draft. We always said, these dynasties, if they ever occur, never last as long as you think. And people forget, in the history of the NFL, there's only been five dynasties. Green Bay, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Dallas, and New England. That's it. The media loves Kansas City, and they should. New England's academic... they were the opposite of a fireworks show. I mean, let's be honest. New England was a lot like Alabama, sort of a drab dynasty, and Kansas City's all sorts of fireworks and fun and flash and speed and a big arm quarterback. But these things are hard, and Kansas City now, a little headache.
Where Colin was wrong.
What in God's name is happening with Carmelo Anthony? He is suddenly shooting 92% at the free throw line in the last six games. 40% from three and 50% from the field. So C.J. McCollum's been out for a while. And then Nurkic, the center, is out. So it's essentially Dame and Melo. And we all know Dame's great. But Carmelo Anthony is having a resurgence. The best in the last six games, the best he's ever shot free throws, the best he's ever shot three-pointers, and as good as he's ever shot field goals. So it's Dame, Melo, and a bunch of kids. And where is Portland right now as a seed? Fifth seed. Good for Portland.
Where Colin was right.
Joel Embiid got hurt over the weekend. I like him. I think he's a great player. But I've said, when a big guy gets hurt early, watch out. He's only played in 46% of his games since he was drafted. And now, thankfully, he's only out for 2 to 3 weeks. But this is, what, the fourth, fifth, or sixth injury where Embiid will have to miss significant time. He's never played more than 64 games. He is no question. He is a remarkable talent. He's funny on social. He's got leadership qualities. But, folks, it doesn't matter who it is. When you're a big and you get hurt early, you get hurt often. And that's why I've said, if I had to move Simmons or Embiid, I'd probably move Embiid, even though he's a much better player than Simmons.
where Colin was right.
Never been into this one-and-done thing in college basketball, and Kentucky had their worst year since 1927. John Calipari has been there 11 years, one title, and only four Final Fours, despite the fact they've had 29 first-round picks, far more than anybody else in college basketball. And the problem with the one-and-done, you're having to reboot chemistry. You bring in four or five new starters. You got 35 games in a season. The first 12, they're lost. The next 12, they start to gel. And the next 12, they're looking at the NBA because they're so damn talented. I love that college basketball has given the Gonzagas and the Villanovas, and those aren't mid-majors, don't get me wrong. They're good programs. But it just shows John Calipari was the celebrity of college basketball like 4 years ago. They're not recruiting at the same level. They're not winning at the same level. 29 first-round guys, they're not in the tournament. One and done to me is a lot of flash. One title, 11 years. Right now, by the way, right now this morning, Gonzaga last 5 years, better program than Kentucky. They are. They're a better program. More consistency, putting a ton of guys in the NBA, winning their conference.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Demario Davis playing in the NFL for 10 years. He's an all-pro. Speaking of restructuring contracts, we've talked about that today. He just restructured his. He has led the Saints in tackles each of the last 3 years. Class guy. Shield One Foundation with Josh Norman. I think Drew Brees is part of that too, helping young people all over the country. And Demario Davis now is joining us. So I asked Jonathan Vilma an hour ago, I said, the first time you met Drew Brees, what did you think? And he laughed. He said, I thought he was kind of dorky. I couldn't figure the guy out. He was so into his world. So let's go back to the first week or the first time you met Drew Brees. What was your, Demario, what was your initial impression?
First time I ran into him or talked with him, we were in the weight room. And he was dialed into his process. I mean, he was locked in. He was in the mirror doing something with the dumbbells, probably doing some type of shoulder exercise or something like that. And I remember walking up to him and saying, you know, I'm going to make sure that the defense gives you everything that you need to be successful. You know, and that's the main reason why I'm here. And he literally went into his mode, so Drew mode, and he was like, I appreciate that, but every year, you know, it's the same thing. You start from the bottom and you got to build it. You got to build it back up to the top. And so right now we're at ground zero. And, you know, at this phase, we're going to do what we got to do just to get to the next phase. And then after that, we're going to stack a brick on top of that, stack a brick on top of that, stack a brick on top of that. Every year it's a reset and we start from the beginning. And, you know, he just let me know he was happy to have me there. And, you know, be ready to get to work as we build this thing back up.
Demario, leadership is really hard to quantify. Are there moments with Drew Brees that you honestly thought that you won a game, not because of throws, not because of what he could do physically, but that Drew's leadership, there were moments where you felt they won games in the time you played together?
Oh, by far. I mean, I've been in games with Drew where you take Houston, for instance, I think 2 years ago, it's a shootout going back and forth. And the last drive of the game that Houston has, they drive down and score and take the lead. And there's not a lot of time left. And you're like, man, this game defense, we might have just blew the game. And then you were like, the offense goes on the field. And the crowd chants, Drew. And you remember, like, oh, we got Drew Brees. We still got a shot. And he drives down the field, and we win the game. And you like, man, that's what it means to have that type of quarterback back there. And coming from teams where I didn't have guys like that, that means a lot. That means a lot. And definitely have won games just because we had him on the team. But what's more impressive is, you know, in 3 years I've been here, we haven't lost a lot of games. But every time we have lost games, you know, I can see him over there in his locker just kind of going through the game. You can tell he wears the entire weight of the team on his shoulders. He will never blame a game on anybody else. He puts the weight on his shoulders. And he never says that, but you can just see how he carries it. And that's the definition of a true leader to me. You know, you can learn a lot about a person and what they do in times of success. You learn more about a person, what they do in times of adversity.
Yeah, that's a great point. DeMario Davis, Saints linebacker, and a great one. You know, it's free agency time around the NFL, and you've been in that spot before. I was just talking. Aaron Jones actually has never been paid the big money. He was a low-round draft pick, and he decided this is rare. He's like, listen, I can make more money elsewhere. It'll be my first big check. And he's like, you know what? Packers have a good O-line. We win 12, 13 games a year. I got Aaron Rodgers. And this is rare. And I don't blame, because I thought he was going to go make money because he got overlooked out of high school. He got overlooked out of college. And I'm like, go make your money. But do you understand where he's coming from? It's like, so there's a lot of bad cultures in this league. There's a lot of bad general managers. And it's just nice to win. It's just like with the Saints, you guys just win a lot. And did you think about that during free agency that there are times you can stack that money up, but if you're driving to the arena on Sunday and you stink, it's not that much fun playing football.
Yeah, and that's a very interesting point. And, you know, I'm glad he got the deal that he got. You know, free agency is interesting. And we're living in a time where it's blockbuster deal on top of blockbuster deal, not just in football and basketball, baseball, all over soccer. You just see blockbuster deals on the bottom of the ticker. And what can happen in that is sometimes guys can get lost in that. And by all means, you know, I want people to get what they feel is due to them. But it has to be a point to where you look at it and figure out what's best for you, what's best for your family, what's best for your psyche, what's best for your heart, you know. And it's more than just dollar signs, because – you know, whether it's, you know, $50 million or $100 million, all of it is changing your life situation. All of it is changing the legacy that you're going to be able to leave for your family. All of it is changing what you're going to be able to leave to your grandkids if you manage and steward it right. So at the end of the day, it's not always about just going and get the biggest deal that you can cash in on. It's about the whole picture. It's about the whole pie. Like what is going to make you happy to go to work every day? What's going to make it where you joyful to be around your family members, because you enjoy the environment that you're in. And it's very rare that you get in a situation where you can get the pay, be in the right organization that you love and appreciate, that organization loves and appreciates you, and it's respectful across the board, and it's appreciated and mutual across the board. And when you have that, you better do everything you can to hold on to it. It's like a good woman. If you find a good woman, you better do everything you can to hold on to it, because it ain't always green on the other side.
That Joy is nodding her head. Joy is like, that's right. You get a good woman, you better hold on to it. By the way, you do a lot, your Shield One Foundation. You've always been a giver your entire career. That's why we bring you on the show. Very thoughtful. Josh Norman's part of that. Is Drew Brees part of that too?
Yeah, Drew Brees, one of the founding board members. And we got support across the league, big support as well. We got an activation going on in Minnesota. Eric Kendricks is behind that. Support from Super Bowl winning Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, two competing against each other. So we got support across the league just behind other players being behind it. You know, when so much social unrest was going on, we wanted to create a vehicle for change. You know, so many people were just asking, like, how do we give? How do we help? How do we be a part? And so what we really wanted to have was a vehicle that people could get on to. We have a campaign going on right now where we're trying to create sustainability in the Minneapolis community, which is ground zero. You got the trial of George Floyd going on right now. And if anything, if that trial doesn't go right, there could be, you know, civil unrest again. And, you know, last time that happened, you know, those people were cut off from food access. They were cut off from medical services. And, you know, in a time like COVID-19 and the city is literally burning down, you know, you got to make sure that those communities have access. And so we partnered with got behind an urban farm that's there that provides, you know, food security for 100 days, no matter the weather, no matter what's going on in the city, no matter any type of crisis that's happening. And what we wanted to make that was that could be 365 all the time. And that's where our support has been around and been around that. So if anybody wants to get behind that, we have a campaign going on where we're raising dollars to build an innovation center and discovery lab, because we want to be able to teach the next generation how to work in this innovative farm. And it's really an amazing thing. So you can look at it on shield1foundation.org and learn all about it. But it's been a blessing. And so we have activation going on in Minneapolis, Atlanta, D.C., soon going to be out in L.A. Got projects coming to New Orleans. So it's been a tremendous thing to work with these guys and alongside these guys, and want to have something that we can spread out and share with everyone.
By the way, he'd never missed a game for a linebacker. That is saying something. Never missed a game. That listen, man, if I cough twice in the morning, I'm out of work. I'm done. You've never missed a game, DeMario. Good for you. Quality dude. Nice talking to you. Thanks, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on. You guys be blessed.